you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Tuesday, October 16th, 2018. Kind of the words are flowing a little better now, huh, Marianne?
Good. You're getting coherent.
Yeah, the last day and a half, even this morning, it was coming out a little slower. I was like, help me with this, Marianne. I think I'm not quite over jet lag. Yeah. But
so is the jet lag worse coming back or going? It's all coming back, probably. No? Just the whole trip?
Yeah. I think they're equal.
For people that don't know.
Well, you have to get over it quickly when you're there because you have to be at full throttle throughout the trip. 31 people, making sure everyone's back on the bus. Everyone knows what's going on. You got to be up early. And
for the listener that doesn't know, let's just say you just got back from Israel.
Yep, got back. Jason was filling in with a number of teaching, but he was also with me in Israel, so it was great. He did a phenomenal job.
He's kind of amazing to do that.
Multitasking, how he pulled that all off, I don't know.
Yeah. So you're coming back around.
Yeah, coming back around, and probably tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends with Jason in the studio, we'll recount some of the God sightings. Mm. Great bunch of people. We had a service project with Bridges for Peace.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah, that was really great. Well organized, and they were English speaking, so it was really easy to coordinate and do things with them and follow their instructions. And a lot of great God sightings at many visits and sites and locations, and the praying and the teaching and the sharing and the singing and the worship. Yeah, just a great life-changing experience. And many recounted their Kesher moments. That's a Hebrew word for like Velcro, when somebody makes that connection, you know, when it really fits in, having the biblical narrative read on location and, you know, thinking, wow, now it makes more sense, or I can understand this, or seeing the terrain, or interacting with the scriptures and then reading it. In fact, on Sunday, I went to the Good News production, and, you know, when they were doing some of the dramatization of some of these biblical narratives, it's like I was just at that site, and it was kind of neat to see it and hear it again and talk about it. So, yeah, full weekend. You know, you just get back, and it's like,
well, you hit the ground sort of running.
Yeah, so, on Sunday, that Good News production, that was their fourth and final. They had a 7 o'clock on Friday, then 2 on Saturday, and then Sunday at 3 p.m. And Jason and I went to that, and Holly and Esther and a friend. And they did well. I was impressed.
Well, that's good.
The characters, they did their very best at portraying that role, that person or the individual or the biblical account. Everything from Satan to Jesus to God's voice to some of the disciples to everyone from Adam and Eve to the prophets. And so
that's a lot of things.
Yeah, they fitted in, I think, a couple hours worth. But very well done. And
well, you had them in the studio kind of doing some. Helping them do some promo, I think.
It was well done, worth it, and we'll see how God uses Crystal's in the day ahead. She's with CHM Bible Theater Productions, and they presented a community gospel stage play called The Good News, and they really stayed true to the biblical narrative from Genesis through Revelation. So, very well done. I'm sure they'll be doing more things in the days ahead, and it was fun to meet people. In fact, I was plugging the Great News Radio Children's Choir. Oh. There was a little intermission time, and I said, hey, do you mind if I had one of these flyers on a couple of the tables where people were?
Did.
Got to multitask. and so she said, oh, no problem at all. And she says, in fact, if you want to do an announcement from the stage.
Oh, did you?
And Claude Shelby, let's see, I think it was Claude Shelby's daughter. Mm. So his granddaughter, I believe, was one of the children that ran up to Jesus. And I learned that she was between basically the ages of 8 to 11. Uh-huh. And I said, hey, there's a children's choir this Thursday night, 5:10 at the Great News Radio Center. And so hopefully we'll get a few more. I know Holly has some of her friends signing up. And I think we have 5 or 6 children already. And
it's exciting.
You want to have your child or grandchild learning music and having vocal instruction and other things. It's all free, and it's all launching this Thursday night at the Great News Radio Center, 5:10 here at Lincoln Square. We're in Unit 112, right across from the big blackboard, the ping pong table in the food court, so can't miss us.
I think it's going to be very festive at the Marketplace Mall. and in Danville when you have the singing men and the children's choir. I mean, that'll be fun.
Wait. You know, initially I was getting some of the reports back in Israel. I had to check in with email each and every day. And first few days, there was like nobody signed up. And I thought, wow, did I miss God's timing on this? And then we had a couple sign up and a few more, but I was thinking we'd have 20 or 30 right away. So we're waiting on God on this. We'll see how it all comes together. But I know the last few days we've already picked up a few more.
Good.
But if you have a child between the ages of 8 and 11, and in fact, if they're 7, I think we have a couple 7-year-olds signed up, we'll accept that. And so grades basically 3rd through 6th. But if you have a second grader that's 7, I think we have a couple 7-year-olds. We'll welcome them. It's free instruction, free vocal lessons. They'll learn music, and they'll be singing in 2 Christmas concerts this December, joined by the singing men of GNN. Or they'll be actually joining the singing men of GNN.
That's funny.
So it's the Great News Radio Children's Choir being launched this Thursday night at 5:10 at the Great News Radio Center here at Lincoln Square.
At 5:10 after 5?
Yeah.
Why after 5?
Well, for children, an hour and a half. We thought an hour and 20 minutes would be really good, very effective. Hmm. And then if anyone's running a little late, like Bible Study Fellowship does it. I think they do it like 6:20 or something. I forget. They do an unusual time. And so if everyone knows to get here at 5, then they'll get here by 5:10.
That's so nice.
Yes.
But do you know any habitually late people?
Yeah.
I do. If you say 5:10, they'll come rolling in at 5:20.
5:20, well, 5 o'clock, everyone.
That's right.
At 5 o'clock. Well, actually, we're waiting to get a tally on those that sign up, but we were going to provide a little snack or like a light dinner.
Oh.
So maybe pizza and something, and that would be at 4:45. And so basically 4:45 to about 5:10. And then come 5:10, they'd be ready to start singing.
They're going to eat pizza in 10 minutes?
Well, 4:45.
Oh,
so they have
saying.
Like that 15 minutes, and the margin is they could go to 5:05.
Nobody listening is going to know when to come, but it's okay.
Yeah, 5:10. Just sign up. It's all clear there at the website.
Pizza is here earlier if you want some.
Yeah, in fact, we have to kind of know by the sign up. I know a couple of people said that would be a great addition if we had a free light dinner, probably pizza one time, something else. And we'll have some carrot sticks and something else. It just won't be pizza and pop. We'll have a couple other healthy things. But we need to know, so you need to sign up. And grandparents, encourage your children to encourage your grandchildren to come along. So we think you could really be a blessing by having them involved. And maybe they need to be encouraged by you to get their children involved. So ages basically 7 to 11. It's launching this Thursday night, October 18th, 5:10. Be here and be ready by 5:10. So get here at 5 o'clock and we'll have a great time together. We have 3 outstanding directors. Sarah Todd, she's got, I think, 2 master's degree in vocal and music. And all 3 of our directors play the piano.
That's great.
Tina, she's in from China 1 year with her husband, who's a visiting scholar. And she leads a children's choir in China.
Oh, wow.
And she's got a master's, I think, in vocal instruction. And then Dee Chesser has been teaching children for, I think, 34 years. She oversaw choirs in Minnesota. And this has been one of her heartfelt desires for years here. I think she's been here around 11 years, and she's just very excited. And so all 3 are great and talented. They'll take care of your children and get some good sounds out of them in the days ahead. So that's this Thursday night, the launching of the Great News Radio Children's Choir. Be here and seated by 5:10. And I'm not quite sure if we're going to have...
We finally got it out.
Yeah. We'll see who signs up. Maybe we'll have a pizza here. So
You should order at least one.
Yeah. So, all right. Exciting times. Yeah. Back in the saddle. Thank you, God, for Pastor Jason Schiffle, how he filled in and did those additional devotional thoughts, those 5 programs last week and then yesterday. And Joey Kroll filled in the week that we had left, that Wednesday through Friday.
He did
the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday edition of Mark and Friends. So. We're all firing on all cylinders. The Prime Life Times paper is flying out.
I think
we're going to run out this month. We had over 20,000 printed, and there's areas that are saying, hey, like we're getting really low, and it's like, gosh, we're only halfway through the month.
Yeah.
So not even halfway.
We are going to run out this month.
Yeah, we are halfway now. So.
Yeah. We are. We have to print more next month.
Get your edition, and we'll probably talk about that next Monday or the next two Mondays. We have two more Mondays left, but a great edition. People are being blessed by the material and the stories and the content and the puzzles and the cartoons. And oh, we're going to mention awards? Do we have time to do that? Maybe we can. Yeah, let's. We'll mention some the next week, but let's maybe. I think we received, five different awards?
We received five awards from NAMPA, the North American Mature Publishers Association. It's a big deal.
Yeah, this is a big deal. Five different awards we received. We'll continue with your reading, Memories of an African Son. If there's a little time at the end of the program, we'll highlight.
Or we can talk about
we were
next
recognized.
Monday,
we were. Yeah, it's pretty big deal. I mean, of all the papers throughout the country that submitted stories, and there's a bunch of different categories, and we submitted some to, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11 categories,
I think.
And
we're up against some real competition.
Some established papers that have been doing this for many, many years. This was our first try, and we got five different awards. One first place, I think two second places, and two third places?
Three second places. No, you're right. Two second places, two third places, and one first place. Yeah.
And you'll never guess who got the first place, but we'll talk about that maybe in the days ahead, maybe at the end of this program. But let's talk about crocodiles.
Okay, let's do.
Chapter out of Memories of an African Son, Chapter 19 by Marianne Simpkins, not only our very own Director of Creative Services, but our Editor-in-Chief. And she's a life coach. She oversees a ministry called Faith Prayers, an author, obviously, and she penned this book a few years ago called Memories of an African Son. And this is now the 19th chapter, so we've been reading a chapter or two each and every week, except when, you know, certain things went on and we didn't have you fill in. But
that's all right. We'll get through this.
Today is Chapter 19, Crocodiles.
Thank you so much. Okay. Crocodiles. I remember exactly where I was sitting, at the little Merrimack-style table in our doctor's very small house, when the first heavy raindrops hit the ground one rainy season. A rainy season that erupted much earlier than expected. Through the window, I could see the sky turning a deep gray around the huge clouds that had amassed. Except for some of the medical staff at the hospital, it seemed nearly everyone from the mission station was packed in that room. But we had a problem, and everyone knew it was just about to get worse. Five of the women from our station, including my mother and a couple of the nurses, had gone into town in our old Peugeot the day before to get some supplies. The plan had been for them to gather what they needed and make the long trip back the next day. The rains had seemed a number of days off still. We had been sure the women would beat them, based on our experience of watching the clouds. However, we were wrong, and the drops of rain currently hitting the window by my side at that little table proved it. Every minute now counted. I watched as two Land Rovers pulled up outside the house. People hurriedly put on hats, and rain gear and equipment were stuffed into the back. Containers of gasoline were loaded in. We always carried our own gasoline with us wherever we went for refueling purposes, as there were no fueling stations for long miles. When the government of Rhodesia declared its independence from Great Britain, sanctions were imposed and gasoline was rationed, crippling our travel and making it even more complicated for us to have enough to get around. "We have to go meet them at the Turgway," had been the verdict, reached less than half an hour before, in the doctor's little living room as the first drops hit. They will never get across. We knew what was coming. The torrential downpour, clearly on its way, would flood every river in the vicinity, and my mother and the others would be stranded. The men wanted to get to the large Turgway River first and set up what they needed to guide, push, or pull the car across the river. It was very important that the women not attempt that crossing without something on the car with the river so high. More than one mission car had floated off down the river. The men were so focused on the task at hand that they said yes without much thought to us children riding in the back of the Land Rovers along with the equipment. So, of course, we piled in. The rain grew stronger as we drove, and the Turgway was flooding by the time we arrived. We climbed out of the Land Rovers, and the men began immediately preparing in anticipation of the Pucho arriving on the other side. Our Land Rovers had a winch, a steel cable attached to a roller motor on the front. Someone could wade or swim through a river and attach the hook at the end of the cable to a strong tree, then start the roller motor and pull the Land Rover through the water to the tree.
Hmm.
In this case, the men were going to attach the cable to the Peugeot and pull it toward the Land Rover on the bank. No one was paying much attention to the children. It's not like we were really going anywhere, and we were a group of seven, so we certainly weren't going to get lost. We were already wet and relishing the sense of the water after so much dryness. The river looked deeply inviting. We dove in and swam or waded out to the middle. It was sheer exhilaration. We had been told 100 times not to get in the rivers or any standing water. We knew we were doing the wrong thing to enter that water. I, myself, had been given an hour-long personal lecture on the scientific dangers of parasites by our mission doctor after he returned from a tiring day at the hospital late one afternoon. After finding me playing in standing water near the place where we made our bricks for the station, my parents had already done what they could think of to straighten me out.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, the hour-long doctor's discussion was supposedly another effort to pound sense into my risky thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The Peugeot soon drove up and stopped on the other side of the bank. The men were waving at them from our side, but the women jumped out of the car all at once and in a frenzy. "Get those kids out of the water!" It seemed like they all yelled it at once. The men turned and looked at us, seemingly in unison, as though seeing us for the first time.
Typical men.
They were all concerned, and rightly so, that the water carried Bilharzia parasites, for which there was no medication at that time, or that it carried one of the many parasites that caused river blindness or a host of other diseases. But the river also carried another, more immediate and worse danger, one they hadn't known about. While we were unashamedly laughing off their concerns, yet knowing at some point we would indeed be forced out of the water and in trouble yet again, my foot slipped. Then it slipped again into a long, yet shallow, highly defined groove, and then another one. My friend, beside me, a very bush-savvy young boy, turned to me, a suddenly strange look in his eyes. "This river is filled with crocodiles." I stared at him and knew he was telling the truth. He, too, had just slipped in their grooves. His sharp eyes were scanning the river, the bank, everywhere, and he knew. He knew what was lurking in the dark reaches of the water, underneath and unseen.
Now, those grooves, the grooves of the back of the alligators,
the
grooves
belly,
where they...
The belly, as they go along the bottom, up and down. "We have to get out now." The refreshing rain falling on the river, the glint of the rushing water, the fun of swimming, none of it mattered from that moment on. What mattered was the fact that in the murky darkness of the bottom of the riverbed, right where I was standing, silent, lethal killers were waiting for just the right moment, with every intent to kill. Crocodiles. The walk back through the rushing river was very different from the excited, fun-filled walk out. No more eager splashing in the water, laughter, or seeing if we could find where the water was chin-deep from the mix of falling rain and the gushes of water running down grooves on the bank slopes. I had gotten far out into the river, in the very middle, and it was swelling by the moment. Gingerly, in fear, every time my foot landed on the bottom and slid downward, I made my way back to the bank, in fear, And now, in truth, back through the river as it really was, a bilharzia parasite-infested place full of crocodiles. Mm. I will never forget that walk back. Temptation is like that. It looks all glorious at the beginning. Only occasionally does it present its true face. Instead, we are caught up in its lies. The person who is not our spouse seems so understanding and sees the real us as we want to be thought of until, strangely, we begin to have trouble with them, too. The drug really does help us study at first. The alcohol actually does make the room seem brighter and our conversation wittier until we can't think like we used to. The stolen money does buy the clothes and jewelry that people compliment us for until the day they see our name is in the paper for theft. Temptation's wages are brutal. Destroyed families, children who no longer can respect their father or mother, financial ruin, smeared reputations, loss of self-esteem, just like the devouring crocodiles, which kill on one strike. Hmm. The Bible says that when we are faced with temptation, God will provide a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. For me, that escape boils down to one phrase that I always remember. Get out of the river. Sometimes the thing that has gotten me into the most trouble is when I know I'm being tempted, I know I'm toying with the wrong path, and yet I keep on toying, when the best possible thing to do is to simply get out of the river, to completely remove myself from the sources of temptation just as fast as I can. It can be a long, slow walk back. Sometimes we get so far out into the joyous river of our temptation that it is a terrifying walk back to the bank, because in our effort to get back to shore, we are still in the river, going in the right direction now, perhaps, but still working to get ourselves back out of the water. This river is filled with crocodiles. That statement takes me back to the horrendous feeling of knowing crocodiles could be swirling around in the water, coming up from behind at any minute, hungry, desirous of bringing me down to a watery death. Mm. Because crocodiles eat people, and so can temptations, when we do not run. Father, help me to always get out of the rivers of my temptations. Help me to know quickly when there are crocodiles in the river of temptation. No matter how invigorating and enjoyable the river might look, give me the strength to always turn back around, no matter how far out I've gone, and make my way safely back to shore. Please keep me safe.
Hmm. Oh, wow, so much could be said, and we could give a whole sermonette on just some of the points of application into our lives when we're dabbling in temptation, and how it seems really great maybe at first, and then you find yourself trapped or addicted, or it doesn't turn out the way you'd hoped. I mean, that's how sin always leads us. It entices us to begin with, but it's always a death trap.
And
the fact that you got out safely and didn't even catch maybe some of the diseases or those parasites or whatever. Also, so thank you, God, for watching out for you, and
thank you,
watching out for everyone tuned in today that is wanting to grow in the likeness of Christ, wanting to be steadfast in their following of Jesus, and like you said, flee temptation, everyone. Flee it today. All right, that was chapter 19 called Crocodiles. I put a little note. I think I'm going to call today's program Get Out of the River. All right, everyone, get out of your chair today. You have an influence on people around around you,
yeah.
raising children, helping the neighbor, your classmate, or maybe a coworker. You can shine and shed that light of Christ into their life and be that fragrant offering that woos them to God the Father. Let's all be evangelists today in one way or another, maybe through mm-hmm. word, maybe through deed, through your example.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
God bless.